up 9 o'clock. But right now, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the 25th anniversary, a birthday of sorts, for the Harold Washington Library right down here on State Street, a tremendous building that has seen a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of controversy, because it does show up a lot of times on lists that are like, you want to know the worst buildings, the worst architecture in the world? And it's the number 18, the Harold Washington Library. And I don't know if that's fair, but Lee Bay knows. He's the architecture contributor. He's also the writer at Urban Observer. He's been a columnist at the Sun Times. He's worked at Public Media. He's been all over the place. Lee, great to see you, buddy. How you
good
doing?
Good to see you, too. Thank you.
So you're leading a conversation at the library on Thursday, or tomorrow. It's 19th.
Wednesday.
I lose track of my days. Coming up at 6 o'clock, really about the history and the architecture of this building. What am I accurate when I'd say that it's sort of controversial?
No, you're very accurate. I mean, of all the talks I've given over the past 15, 20 years about architecture, this is the toughest to try to prepare for, because you know, it's really a building that people absolutely love or they absolutely hate, and often for good reasons. I mean, there are people who hate, let's say, the State of Illinois building for reasons that I, as an architecture snob, will say are not valid.
I just don't like the way it looks.
That's right. I don't like the way it looks. It's supposed to be red, white, and blue, and it isn't. You know, that kind of thing. But the reasons for not liking this building are often very valid, and the reasons for liking it are very valid. It's a really polarizing building.
Well, let's talk about it, because it always, and I remember we've talked about it in the past, just this concept that the architecture almost came at the just on the tail end of a style of architecture, a 90s style that we saw when everybody was reaching towards the next thing. It just almost was like retro in its moment.
Yeah, it's an amazing building in this regard. So, you know, at the time there was postmodernism, without getting too nerdy about it. If you look up and down Wacker Drive, for instance, you see buildings like this, late 80s, mid 80s, early 90s, contemporary buildings, but they clearly reference the past in some oblique way. Kind of, you know, if you look at it, maybe kind of Art Deco-ish, you know, maybe they replicate columns, that kind of thing, from Roman architecture. But this building comes in the middle of that. But as opposed to being a kind of a riff on these past styles, this baby is full on. I mean, it's steampunk. It's 1891, and a building wants to be that. It has the heft and the weight and the architectural detailing of a building of that age. But the controversy, of course, is it wasn't 1891. It was 1987, 1991. Why can't we build a building that looks like a building of our time? And that's where the controversy.
Well, I mean, I mean, down to the color and like you said, the heft of it. But even at the top, it's got the gargoyles, like on the.
Owls. Yeah,
owls. Yeah. I mean, it really does, feel. I mean, and I'm not an architecture buff in any regard, but it does feel like it's almost mixing styles.
You know, it really does. I mean, here's a mind trick. You can win, you know, bar money for this. Stand on the corner of Congress and State, and look at the old Sears building where Robert Morris College is now, and look at the library, and ask the people which building was built in 1889. And they'll all point to the Harold Washington Library, but the Sears building, which is really modern for a 19th century building.
Yeah, right.
That's like a skyscraper on the side, really. I mean, the Robert Morris University building, that's the one that was actually built in 1800. So, you know, it's that kind of trick that it plays.
Now, you're also going to talk about the history of the building, obviously. I mean, let's talk about this, because this was a big move to honor a mayor. The mayor had died at this point, and this was going to give the library his name.
It was, but that becomes a thing that happens later, because he passes away just when the bonds are being, when the legislation is being issued, Harold Washington, to in 87 to build the library. The story actually goes way back 10 years earlier. Now, you're probably too young to remember, but you know, but the city's main library was the cultural center, and then
right
the
here
70s,
Michigan Avenue,
right here in Michigan Avenue. And what happened is, you know, this building becomes too small, too outmoded. A beautiful building though, so it becomes a cultural center, and the library is moved to a warehouse that is a stone's throw behind where we are now, the Mandel Brothers Warehouse, which is where the Gleacher Center is now.
Oh, okay.
University of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody remembers this unless you were there, right? Awful, the top three stories of this warehouse, 1920s warehouse, musty. I remember that. This is where the library essentially was. This won't do. So Jane Byrne, you know, fresh in office, gets elected in 1979, says we need something better than this. So she then begins to look at a recently closed department store, one of many that will close over the next 5 years, which is Goldblatt's, the old Goldblatt's building at Jackson and State. It had closed. She thought, you know, we can adaptively reuse this building and turn it into a library, which actually, in hindsight, is not a bad idea. Would have been pretty progressive for the time.
And it's probably a big enough building, right?
It's a big enough building. Yeah. Holabird and Root did a scheme for it, and there's an L station there now, but only been there since the 90s. They would put the L station in the building. So there was that. It was a lot of room, auditoriums, all that kind of thing. Books, space for books, the whole mix. But what happens is she can't make it come to fruition during her term. And Harold Washington comes in as mayor, inherits a project that his administration really isn't that fond of. And then a funny thing happens. They begin to push for a new building, or at least begin to want a new building. And the Chicago Sun-Times, my old paper, but this is before I was there, does a series of investigative pieces saying that the Goldblatt's building was unfit for reuse because it was filled with asbestos and sprinklers that didn't work. And it kind of gave the administration the ability to pitch the idea for a new building. The city just happened to own a lot. A parcel, that's where the building wound up.
Wow, that's amazing. And so it was already in play, and then the city, after the mayor passed away in office, there was, you know, they obviously made the name for him. But I mean, at the time, was it just going to be the Central Public Library?
Yeah, exactly. And there was a international competition, design competition, to come up with a design for the building. There were five finalists. This one, there was one by Helmut Jahn. There was one by Arthur Erickson, Canadian architect who passed away.
Have you seen the? Yes.
If you go on my blog Wednesday, I know who can remember this. You'll see it. Or if you're Facebook friends with me, Lee Bay BEY on Facebook, friend me up and you can see them. But the models are actually in the library, in the Washington Library. You can see them all. Four of them are on one floor, then the winning one is on another floor, in the Harold Washington sort of center, where the Winter Garden is on the top floor. But there was this big competition. This was huge. You know, the city really hadn't done one of these since the Tribune Tower competition. And people from all over applied, down to these five finalists. All of them looked pretty different. And out of this, the jury picked the design, the Thomas Beebe design, which is the design that we have now. But Helmut Jahn did a very futuristic-looking design. Erickson and VOA, a firm that's now Stantec that's here in Chicago now, did this really wild, like it landed from Mars kind of scheme for it that incorporated the L, and there was green space around it. But they picked a more traditional thing. One of the jurors said at the time, "This looks like a library."
Lee,
and that sold the day.
I mean, what were they looking for with this library? Because it wasn't just sort of having a central library. They really wanted to make it a progressive space. It's not just books. There's a lot that goes on in a central library for the city of Chicago.
Exactly. You know, they needed the room. They needed room enough, so it had to be a big building to do what the libraries do and what they suspected libraries would do in the future. But there was also something else at play, which is, and if you come to my lecture, you'll see images of this, the South Loop of that time, you know, right on the other side of the L there, from Van Buren into Roosevelt, was a really seedy area. You know, vacant lots. You know, I went to school at Columbia in the mid-80s and mid-late 80s, and I remember what was there. You know, it was vacant lots, homeless people, poor college students, the whole mix. So this building, in a way, I'm not agreeing with this, had to be something of a beachhead, sort of a fortress. It had to work as a library, but it also had to make people feel safe coming there. So as a result, the design makes what I think are some unfortunate kind of compromises to that, where other schemes would activate an outdoor space where Pritzker Park is now, just north of the
building. So it almost had to be, okay, when you come into this building, you're safe. So the doors, that's where the heft comes from, this idea that it almost is like a fortress.
It certainly feels like it, doesn't it? And when you come in that's on the Van Buren side, on the north side of the building, you kind of have to walk past a security guard through the long corridor that turns the corner before you get to the big lobby. You have to walk for a while to see your first book. The elevators are to the rear, so you know you can't get up into the library very quickly. These are the kind of compromises that were made.
Well, okay, last question. I mean, just the idea that, I mean, the South Loop is a much different place now than it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, did the library have a role in changing the neighborhood and changing and bringing more business, attracting more people to live in the neighborhood?
I think so. I think the two things this library's legacy, that composed the library's legacy, one is that it was a $150 million investment back when that was real money in the neighborhood that helped jumpstart the idea of this area as a cultural and education educational corridor. So you get Robert Morris University across the street within 10 years. You get the Goldblatt's building, which becomes the DePaul Center. Within 2 years, 3 years of that building opening. So the South Loop begins to change. This part of the Loop begins to change largely in part of because of this. The other legacy would be that we got a stream, endless stream of branch libraries throughout the city. After this, this is, you know, when the building is built, Richard M. Daley is in office now. And one of the things that he did throughout his 22 years in office, you got a library, she's got a library, everybody gets a library. So these branch libraries are everywhere. I mean, I remember going to the one in Avalon Park when I was a kid. It was shoved in a storefront someplace, and Everybody was mean and surly. But now they get these standalone buildings, and I think the legacy, and the one of the best ones just opened in Chinatown, Skidmore, Owings & Merrill, which lost the competition for the library back in the old days, just opened up this summer.
Do they still have the sort of storefront libraries? Because I remember being in Bucktown in the 90s and being like, oh, it's just a storefront. This is the library. They've changed that one over. Like I said, the branch. I mean, do you still see them in the city where these storefront kind of branches?
You know, there may be a few left, but really the city has been trying to get rid of them. I mean, they've been really, trying to give libraries the space that they really deserve.
Let's take a quick break. Lee Bay in studio with me, architecture contributor. He also is the blogger at Urban Observer, The Urban Observer. You can see that at Urban Observer Bay at blogspot.com. Let's talk about what you wrote about today, the pride of the South Side. Goes on sale. Pride Cleaners. I love this building. I love talking to you. Lee Bay in studio. Stay with us. I just had a conversation with Michael Rooker and John McNaughton. They are the actor and the director behind Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. It was shot here in Chicago in 1986, right? But I watched a little bit for the segment, and there were so many scenes. I'm like, man, I should tell Lee about these, because there's so many scenes in there that you're like, that's not there anymore. That's architecture. Like, it's so interesting. And I know that, you know, you're a big fan of Chicago, or any film that's shot in Chicago. Lee Bay, my guest, architecture contributor. He's also the man behind the Urban Observer, the blog, urbanobserverbay.blogspot.com. He's going to be giving a lecture on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock at the Harold Washington Library in the Pritzker Auditorium?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I got that auditorium everywhere, these
That's
guys.
Right. That's right.
So you'll be there at 6 o'clock. You go check out Lee talking about the Harold Washington Library. But today, he got back in the business of writing about buildings, and the one that really grabbed your attention, you've been talking about this one for years, is the tremendous sort of modernist building, Pride Cleaners. Talk about this building.
This is a building at 79th and St. Lawrence, right on the corner there, and it is one of the most unique buildings, particularly residential, area buildings in the city. It has a angled concrete roof that sort of starts at the bottom behind the store and rises up and overhangs over the top. It's a hyperbolic paraboloid roof, which means it's self-supporting. So think of like a building that's like a hang glider tilted upward almost, right? And then underneath this angled roof is a pure glass semi-box that you can look straight through. And it was built in 1959, and it looks like it's been untouched since the day it was.
It really is. It reminds me of a little Los Angeles architecture. Very different for Chicago, especially for that area. How did it survive all these years to still be intact?
You know, the best way to preserve a building is to keep a business in it that's functional, and that's what happened here. It's been a cleaner since the beginning, and a successful cleaners now, and that kept it in business. I'm 50. I'll be 51. Wednesday, or Thursday.
I was going to say, you got me a lecture on your birthday? You're such an architecture geek.
That's right. my lecture's the day after. I'll be resting up, right? And I remember...
What am I going to do on my birthday? Let's give a lecture about the Harold Washington Library.
Yeah. And I remember passing, in the backseat of my father's, 1970 Buick Electra 225 and going past this thing, because we lived just east of there, and thinking, even then, in 1972, 73, wow, how did this building get here? And then when I was architecture critic years ago for the Sun-Times, I thought, I'm going to find a reason to write about this building. And I did. So occasionally I talk about it on television. But it really is a fantastic building, worth checking out. Dan Ryan is 79th Street, head east, and it's worth the trip. It has also this original freestanding sign that says Pride, the letters individually spelled. Spelled out straight from the atomic age era, and the building is there, and it's for sale.
The big thing is it's for sale. So,
exactly.
I mean, are we at the age where it's 2016 and they say, oh, I'll buy that, I'm going to make that a condo?
Well, you know, that was my fear, and always a fear in Chicago. Whenever land is for sale, buildings for sale, this kind of thing can always happen. The realty company, Mantenky Realty, is marketing it, at least, which is a good sign, as an active business. So it gives you the square footage of the land and the square footage of the building in the listing sheet because you got to, but they're pushing the fact that it's an active business, which is good, because oftentimes when a building is going to be a teardown, they'll kind of wink and nod at that. What I'm hoping happens is, and I think people in Chatham that I've talked to since getting the idea to write about this, are hoping that somehow the city can give it landmark status. There are very few, once you get out of downtown, there are very few, if any, other than Crown Hall, post-war modernist buildings that have landmark status. And to have one in Chatham, Southside community, which would be great. And it would also underscore something that Chathamites know, Southsiders know, is that off those traditional main streets and away from the more traditional streets of two flats and three flats and six flats in Chatham, there's some really incredible modernist architecture, residential architecture there. Things that you'd be surprised you'd see.
Are you optimistic that they would take up something like Pride Cleaners, that the Landmark Commission, you know, would say, yeah, that's something, let's take a look at that?
I am using the power of my voice to push for that. I hope so. I hope so. And, you know, and the good sign is that Mayor Emanuel is beginning to paying attention to Chatham in recent years. In fact, for most of his term, I mean, he's restoring the library and improving the library there. I think actually, if you count a little bit west of there, two libraries in and around the community. And there's a few initiatives there to kind of jumpstart the retail there. So to be able to push this as a landmark, it would be fantastic.
The building is at 558 East 79th Street, 79th and St. Lawrence.
St. Lawrence, yes.
And it's Pride Cleaners. Go see it before someone turns it into condos. Although maybe they'll keep it and make it just a cool condo.
Well,
that could be cool.
You know, people were, when I posted this on Facebook, people were saying, well, you know, the MCA could use it, or it could be a coffee shop. Let it stay at Cleaners.
It's got to stay.
You know, maybe because it's me. I mean, I need a good Cleaners nearby, though. This is far from my house, but I'm willing to go there.
You're willing to go out of your way to go to the modernist Cleaners. That's such an architecture guy. Architecture contributor Lee Bay. You can find out his work at Urban Observer Bay at blogspot.com. It's also on Facebook, and you can see him Wednesday night, 6 o'clock at the Harold Washington Library for a lecture about the history and the 25th anniversary of the Harold Washington Library Center. Mm-hmm. Lee, always a pleasure to see you.
Same here.